Welcome to the Hidden Stories podcast, a podcast for people who are serious about reaching their full potential in life.
Hi, I'm Sue Irwin. I'm so glad you joined me for today's podcast. Today is going to be a fabulous conversation with Darlene Check. You've probably heard of Darlene. She's acclaimed all over the world as a composer, a worship leader, a pastor, author, and speaker. She's married to Mark and is a mother of three. Darlene and Mark currently are the senior pastors of Hope Unlimited Church, known as Hope UC, which is on the central coast of New South Wales, Australia. Darlene today is sharing about digging deep wells in God. When you hear Darlene, you'll understand that what she's saying is true. She's been through some really deep pits in life, but God has brought her out smiling, joyful, and victorious. Welcome, Darlene.
Thank you, Sue, precious lady.
Lovely to see you. Well, I can see you. No one else can see you, but I can see you, and it's really nice to see you after all this time. So we're in the middle of the pandemic and isolation, and we are both leaders in churches, which means we really like people. So how are you going with isolation?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm missing people. I'm really missing my church family. You know, it's in seasons like this you realize how much you need not just Zoom connection, which I've had a lot of, but real connection with people. And so, you know, in the midst of it's you know, been hard for many people. I do think, like Mark and I often talk about how blessed we are to be isolating on the coast or in Newcastle.
Yes.
It's a walk on the beach, we are definitely in a very blessed area to be able to be isolating. And I feel very blessed to live in our country right now, I've got to say. You know, I've got dear friends in New York City. My brother lives in England. And they're what they're walking through daily is very different to what we're walking through right now. So, you know, I'm choosing to be really thankful, really grateful, and really prayerful in this situation, very intentional. Finding a little bit exhausting, and I was thinking, why is that? Because I'm less busy, but I realized that every conversation is a deep one.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's no light. Hello, how are you going? Give me a hug. It's all like, have you got food? What do you need in regards to finances? How can, you know, every conversation is like that. People dealing with different levels of mental health who've never dealt with mental health issues in the past. So for me, I'm finding it's quite a different journey, but, you know, how good is God, right?
He's so good. I agree. Like I was, my son had a call from a friend in England, in India, sorry, the other day. In India's really struggling, as you know. And Caleb, my son, sent him $300 to help feed his village. He knows him very well. And he said that will provide vegetables for our village for a week. And it just made me so sad when they described how people are putting up the price of fruit and veggies because they can get more money. And actually a good thing is some of the Christians have been selling food at the right or cheaper prices, and the government's actually acknowledged it, which is quite a miracle. But after hearing that, it really distressed me, and because I know what it's like. I've seen the poor people on the streets of India. So I went for a walk along Newcastle Harbour and along the beach and thinking, this is our isolation, you know. This is ours. And on the way back, I stopped at my son and daughter-in-law's place, and I was playing with him out on the street, and I stopped and I looked down, and at my feet in the autumn leaves was a $50 note. And then I looked and there was another one blowing along the street in Newcastle, $100. And I went straight home and I said to Caleb, send this to India. I just felt like it was God saying, you live, and I prayed for the person who lost it somewhere because I thought, I hope it wasn't too desperate for them. But for the people in India who are starving, it's it just shows our abundance. So we do have treasure to share, which is why I wanted to talk to you today, because you have treasure to share. And, you know, I've watched your life from a distance, not all your life, I'm not stalking you, but I've watched different things that you've gone through in life. I know you've been through the breast cancer journey, and you would have other things you've been through in life, and you're still thriving in life. And I've read your book about worship, and it's about seasons and knowing God in all the seasons. And I think that's significant, because I think that at the moment we're going through a season that really no one in the world's ever been through before. People have been through a whole world. We've been through world wars, but they are different to this, because even in world wars, people can pull together. They're not forced into isolation. Churches can still operate. It's not that sort of thing happening. And I was even reading this morning that in wars, generally, you know, a lot of countries have buildings and roads that are collapsed or broken, and that actually helps boost the economy afterwards, because there's building programs happening. And so saying, even though this is people are saying it's like a war, it's actually not like a war. It's something totally different. And so you can't be prepared for it, like you can't make a plan for it, but you can have something that happens deep in your life. And what do you think God has done in your life that's actually brought you to a point where you can continue to lead? You're not crumbling, you're still continuing to grow and flourish. What would you say to you? Look,
something about worship and the well.
Mm-hmm.
I love that in John 4, you know, Jesus went to this woman who was sitting at the side of the well that had been dug generations before to bring life, and then he found himself there. And I think in these moments we have an opportunity. We can either walk away from the well, or we can dig the well a little deeper, dig our own wells. You know, even in parenting, I've been in times in prayer where God has said to me, you can pray for your child, but actually your child right now is digging their own well. And there's something about worship that allows me to dig a deeper well in God, so that when these times come, it's like that well is deep, and the water gushing through, you know, that Holy Spirit, it's like deep. It's not, you know, people ask funny questions, don't they, in pandemics or in trauma or something critical that's happened to us. Did you lose your faith?
Yeah.
And I go, what is that? Like, it's my faith is not there to be lost. It's just I get a choice. Do I skim along, or do I dig my well a little deeper in God and just find out more about the depths of him as I'm in the depths, you know? And so I find that's where I have to go. I have to go that way rather than skim along the surface. I don't think you can, you know, casual Christianity, you find out what that's all about when you're in times like this. It's like there's nothing to hold on to, because following Christ is a lay down your life and pick up your cross kind of walk. And it's actually in these times where I go, I'm so thankful that it's a lay down your life, pick up your cross kind of walk, because it's in these times that I'm like, oh, this is on Christ the solid rock, I actually stand, live, breathe, sleep, all of it. And, you know, he's not something to be lost along the way in a casual meander around the corner. You know, that's not the relationship we have with God.
Something I noticed when I was a youth pastor is that as you're raising up young people and you're leading them to be worshippers, sometimes they only see an external picture of worship, which is you standing there singing or raising your hands or closing your eyes, but they don't see what's going on in the inside, which is actually the worship. What would you say? How would you describe that if you were helping someone to know what worship is? I sometimes think that we just teach people to imitate externally, but they need to learn how to imitate internally. And some of that is just going to be you and me wrestling with that journey with God ourselves.
Yeah.
But also there's wisdom, and I believe you've got some wisdom into that.
Yeah, look, I always go back to Romans 12, you know, when it says in our sleeping, our eating, our going out, our coming in, it's like the bringing our lives before God. It says that this is our spiritual act of worship. You know, the songs and the sound of worship, the sound of worship is very important. I think the songs of worship actually are given like a tool more for us because they help us diminish the distraction. You know, when your mind is involved in a melody and a lyric and a rhythm,
yeah,
it helps gather your mind heavenward, you know, and then we're putting the word to song, puts our the living word, then the music's grabbing everything that we are. We don't get distracted, but that still in itself is not the worship.
Mm.
You know, that's it's like the train, mm-hmm. the vehicle,
mm.
but the worship actually is still what is happening deep in your heart mm. in that moment.
Mm.
And look, it's always, people say to me, do you always feel like, you know, just going into worship? And I would say to that is that it always takes faith,
mm-hmm.
100% of the time.
Mm.
It's like whether I'm singing in public or whether I'm by my bed on my knees in private, we go by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start in that moment, and then it's like this, you know, the great exchange starts to happen as we start to either pray or sing or just be silent in His presence. And and we find as we've drawn near that He's already been there drawing near to us. And then it's like I can't help but bring some sort of praise and thanksgiving. And it's not about what He's doing or what He's done, or it's just about who He is.
Mm-hmm.
Always takes faith.
Mm.
Every right. time.
Yeah. So what you're talking about there is really that worship is an intentional thing. It's not something that's driven by our emotions. And even though it can be emotional, it yeah. starts off with intentionality, not with emotions. It's like if you only told people in your family you loved them when you were feeling overwhelmed with emotion, you probably wouldn't yeah. do it as much as if you intentionally want to let them know that you love them. You do love them.
Yeah.
But you decide to do acts of love every day,
yeah.
even if you've had a hard day, you still want to love people. Would you think it's like that with your relationship with God?
Yeah, I do. I really do. And even if there's no doing involved, but it's that being, it's still an intentional act of devotion.
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh God, I thank you. I thank you that today, that for where we are, and you know, I don't take it for granted that we are sitting here in Australia in this beautiful place. Like, why us? Mm-hmm. Why us and not others? God, I don't know. So my heart is so thankful today. And, you know, and then you start to hear Him speak. It's like, well, can you pray right now for your brothers and sisters in this part of the world? And so then you start that journey of that intercessory kind of exchange where He's talking and you're answering, and then you're being quiet, and you know, and then sometimes I can't help myself, I will erupt in a song. I can't help it. It's like that buoyancy comes out in a melody. But I don't think that's the same for everybody. It's very individual.
Mm.
I think songs, people have got to realize, they're not the goal. Jesus is the goal.
Yes.
The song, vehicle to display His glory, mm. you know, mm. and to help us see Him. I think if the songs don't help you see Jesus, move on to the next one.
Yes. I heard Pete Gregg from yeah. the 24/7 prayer movement in England, he said what we need to do in worship is often we're praying using the microscope, analysing everything about ourselves, and we need to get the telescope and look at the glory of God. And he said, because yeah. No one ever walks out at night and looks up at the stars and says, wow, I'm amazing.
I love that. So I love that.
We need to look at the amazingness of God. But, you know, you've been through some hard times. You've been through breast cancer. And, of course, you've been through other hard times of life. So when you get news like breast cancer and other difficult situations, you know, church situations, relationship situations, and it feels like things aren't going to plan, mm-hmm. what do you do then? Because, you know, at this stage, a lot of people are going through those situations. There's, I heard that in Wuhan, or in China, when China opened up, the divorce rate increased by 40% from people being in lockdown. And we know that the domestic violence rate is up here, and mental health is not going so well for some people. And so if we're going to be intentional about worshipping, and this is for anyone, people who know Jesus and people who just want to know him, when things, it's great to worship when things are going pretty well, even, they don't have to be on the mountaintop. It's just like everything's okay. But when you hit the bottom, what do you think you do, like on the, in your heart and in your mind, what do you need to do to start seeing Jesus in the middle of your trials?
Look, I've got some practices that I do in my own life. And I think, you know, people need to do that for themselves. Find out what your practices are for when things aren't easy. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a little journal that I carry with me. I think I brought it to your women's conference. It's filled with my, you know, handwriting of just scriptures, words from the Lord that have come to me that, when I'm finding my my own words before God hard to bring anything of sense to the table, I can go to this and I speak it out.
Yes.
And it's like my default, so that, you know, I'm actually a pretty sunshiny person, and I've really never really struggled with having to do this apart maybe the last 10 years. And so when I started to feel that actually I need to put some systems in place for my own spiritual and emotional health, that's when I started going to not a journal to describe my feelings, a journal full of the truth of what the Word of spoken to me before, or scriptures that have just illuminated, blown my mind, you know, that word. And I get in there and I literally, Isaiah 58 says, and I speak it out.
Yeah.
Because I need it. My soul needs, my soul will magnify the Lord. And when I look at King David, so many times he struggled and he had to tell his soul that it was about to rejoice.
Yes.
Like he had to teach his soul to sing. And I'm like, yeah, we need some disciplines in our world. And I think that's different for everybody. I'm also a great walker and prayer. So, you know, sometimes if it's all too noisy around in my home, or I'm just like, I'm going to walk and pray. Mm-hmm. And I can go until I feel like I've broken through, you know. And so those disciplines, I think they're just really simple, and find out what yours are to help you really bring that sense of worshipful life back into the forefront of who you are.
See, just to draw out a few things you said there, which was fabulous, you really did show how in your journal you go from the microscope, where you could just sit and write down, I feel like this, I'm upset about this, I'm miserable about this, change this, to the telescope, where you start to declare the word of truth. And do you sometimes find when you declare that word, you don't even really fully believe it in your heart and mind when you first start?
Yeah, it doesn't, to be honest, it doesn't take me long. It really doesn't take me long. It's more about that discipline of declaring truth over facts. And even for my emotions, You know, your emotions are wonderful, but they'd lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
They'd lie to you about what the truth is. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, emotions, here we go. Because either I can choose, we can all choose. I can choose to swim in my emotional realm and have a great time. But did it take me from fear to love? No. Mm. It just helps me feel better about my emotions. It's like, yes. Okay, this is not helping right now. Yet my emotions, I need them. I need them to fuel certain things. I need them so I feel certain things. But they can't ruin, and they cannot dictate how big my God is. They will always not be enough. And so that's what I've learned for myself, you know, declare the word over the
couple of things. That's great. You know, when you say it takes you only a moment to realize what is the truth. So you take the telescopic view of things and you realize this truth is far greater than what I'm seeing, imagining, predicting, feeling, all those things that we have, you know, you get news and you suddenly imagine the worst, or you have an argument with someone and you imagine the worst, all the things that happen to us. And you're saying you take that scripture and you declare it, and in a very, very short space of time, your faith is lifted. And I would say, if I can analyze you, that you've been doing this for a long time. So you've been doing it in season and out of season. You've been doing it in the good times and in the bad times, so that it becomes natural to you to do that. And there's an intentionality about that that says, you know, I imagine you've been worshipping since you were a teenager or maybe earlier. And so therefore it's become a daily habit. And maybe there's something in that that you'd like to speak to, that, you know, we raise our children with daily habits of how they sit at the table and saying please and thank you, and when they should clean their teeth and when they should wash and when they should go to bed, so that when they grow up, they maintain those daily habits, hopefully. Hopefully. And as I read once about raising children, when children say, I don't want to go to church, and parents say, that's all right, you don't have to go. No one says that when their children say, do you know, I think I'd like to skip school for a year. And no one says, no, that's all right. You know, you just do what you feel. We teach them to do what's right. But often we don't train ourselves to do what's right with the deeper things of life.
Right.
How did you get that habit?
I think I probably had some really good, you know, when I was a teenager, I had two great women in my church. I was already living out of home. Two great women in my church who really helped me develop some great spiritual practices very early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be ever grateful for them. And then I think, you know, there's been a few junctions in the road. I think when we had our own children, I realized that I have little people now watching, and there are some areas of my life that I don't want them to pick up those habits. And so, again, you know, you learn to fine-tune your life depending on what God is putting into your hand. You're like, oh, okay, I can feel this needs to shift. And then, you know, hitting a few big mountains, then it was another shift, you know. And I'm years before the cancer thing, I remember learning that actually I'm not going to put my feet on the floor any morning without yielding my day into God's purpose. And It was intentional. I didn't do that when my babies were little. I didn't, you know, it was when it was, they're a lot older, and then I'm like, hang on a minute. There's a lot at stake in a day. And so before my feet hit the floor, and that is a spiritual practice that I still have today. And it's everything to me. And, you know, now I'm blessed to have a husband who brings me a coffee to accompany that moment. And I spend that time just, you know, not often saying much, but just listening, yielding, listening. And that really does, you know, sometimes I hear things that are so unbelievable and then I find myself walking into in the day. Sometimes I hear nothing, but I'm like, that doesn't mean he's not speaking.
Yeah.
So I just prepare my heart. And it's a practice that I have. But, you know, it's been that journey. I was challenged last week, and I'll tell you this. I got to, you know, I do a little podcast with our women at church called Sister Society, and we've just started it because I wanted our women to know other women in our church, you know, and we get to know all these amazing women, but I don't feel like our women know each other because we're different campuses. And anyway, so then I got to speak to Layla Abdullah. Her and her husband were the ones that lost their three children to the hands of a drunk driver just 94 days ago. And I had the privilege of singing at the funeral. They had asked me to because they used to sing Shout to the Lord to their children every night. And they wanted that song when the three caskets were being taken out. They wanted them to go out to the song that they'd been put to bed to every night. It's a really big thing. And then I've been in touch with Layla. She's the most beautiful girl. So then last week, you know, her and I had a conversation for this podcast, and she wants people to know her story. She asked me to do it. I would never have asked. And she said, she said, when we got to the scene where the accident, the tragedy, the first thing, so you think about this, the first thing, and you have had an experience like this, I never have. Her husband just cried out to God, said, God, if this is too big for me, but your will be done, teach me, I'm listening. Like, that's his first thing. Layla, first thing, first words out of her mouth, the Lord's Prayer.
Wow, what a couple.
What? And then so I talked to them about that later, and they said, it's just how we've grown up. We have grown up. We are very prayerful. He said, the reason why I wanted to marry Layla because I loved her relationship with Jesus. And he said, I knew she'd always put Jesus before me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And then I learned again, and what you're saying, you know, these practices that we have in the unseen, not on a platform, not in front of the unseen, it catapults something of your faith in these big moments that are seen, and they do have a ripple effect.
Yes, yes.
But you can't do that on a whim. You know, they would never have responded like that as casual followers of Jesus. You know, and now her life, she is one of the greatest people I've ever met. She's like, as long as Jesus is using my life, we're all going to be okay. And whatever that looks like, you know, today and tomorrow, she's got the television stations in her home. And I said to her, pray with them first, you know. She said, can I mention Jesus? I'm like, honey, you don't even do a sentence without mentioning Jesus. Just
Yeah.
But you think 94 days.
That's phenomenal. Wow.
And I just go, but to prove your point, it's what happens in that secret place. It's that beautiful, no pressure ground where it's just you and the Lord, and you're talking and he's talking and you're listening. And then when you hit a wall, when you hit a hard season, when you hit a prolonged hard season, it's like, you know, the voice of God, you're not going anywhere. You know, even talking to someone who's really, yesterday I was talking to them, they're really, their faith is really, you know, has been tested and shaken, but he said, even though I felt like letting God go, I just knew he wouldn't let me go.
Yeah.
And so I can't go anywhere. Exactly.
Like when you know, when people were walking away from Jesus, and he said to his disciples, will you go too? And they said, where else would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. and they hung in there, changed the world. So we're only going to change the world if you hang in and you're disciplined. Yeah. You know, someone was telling me a couple of years ago that they were in a meeting. It was an international government meeting of some, I can't remember what department it was, in Korea, South Korea. And so it was just a secular government meeting, and they're in the restaurant there. And they suddenly realized that the music that was coming over as the background music in the restaurant was you singing Shout to the Lord. And they loved it. And I just want to say, darling, that what you've been intentional with since you were a teenager has actually borne fruit, even when you don't know it's bearing fruit, like in a hotel in South Korea. You don't know who was listening to that song, and the truth of who he is goes into their hearts and plants another seed. And I just want to, I want to thank you for that, because you've delivered something amazing to people. I don't want to just say to the church, but to people all over the world, because the most precious thing we can have is that relationship with Jesus. And I think what people will have heard is that people could look at you and think, well, you can do this because everything has gone well for you, but it hasn't gone well, but God's turned it out for good every time because he's faithful. Thanks for that.
And it's not the way that we would think he would turn all things. No, he does work all things together for good, but what good looks like to me, what I thought good would look like, and what good looks like to him, he really, really blows my mind with all that. You know, it's always a trust journey, isn't it?
Always
a trust.
Yes.
Yeah. Then I'm learning. Look, I've made 1,000 mistakes. I'm sure I'm 1,000 more. Well, that's, you know, speaking lightly. It's God who all glory belongs to the Lord, and it's just a privilege to belong to him and to serve him.
It is. So I'd just like to say, if people want to learn more from your heart, your book, The Golden Thread, Experiencing God's Presence in Every Season of Life, reveals, as I read that, I could hear your heart speaking. It's not just words, it's your heart. So I would encourage people to read that, because I feel that what you have at this season, in this season, is something that people need to know. And worshipping, I think that surrender worship is like when Jesus said, come as a little child to me. And so I think there's a call to all of us, for parents with little children, to start now teaching them those habits. And whether you're 80 or 90 or 100, it's never too late to start becoming a child and learning how to worship and engaging with the Father. Time on this earth doesn't determine how old you are in your heart. So bless you. Thank you so much. It's been fabulous. It's such a privilege to hear from you. Thanks for joining.
Love you.
We hope you discovered something really great today. We're only a new podcast, so it would help us so much if you gave us a positive review and shared this podcast with your friends. Have a beautiful day, and we'll see you next episode.